Hello.
Hello, Coach.
Yeah, how you doing?
Coach Richard, all right.
Yeah.
Well, we've been itching to get a hold of you to talk about your team out there in Vegas. Mario connected us, and tell us a little bit.
Mario called me and told me.
Yeah, you probably thought we were a telemarketer with the screwy way the number comes in, huh?
Yeah, I was wondering. It was a weird call, and I heard, I was saying hello, and then I just heard a bunch of people talking, so.
Oh. So you were actually listening to us, so.
All right. I heard something about an accident or something there for a minute, and then I was like, oh.
All right, well, we got you on now. My first question is, what's the secret to all this success you had at this big event recently with all your fighters? 9 of them come back with championships?
Well, this is I've had for a few years. We've been training pretty consistently, so now it's familiar with my system, and you know, we're starting to try on there. And they're just kind of...
So, what's your system? I mean, not to give anything too much away, but what's the system that's making it work for these kids?
Well, I think just consistency, you know? We kind of on the same page with a lot of the parents, and they got a good support system to get them to the gym every day and be consistent with the training is a real big part of their success.
Awesome. And where did you yourself learn about boxing first?
My dad and my uncle. I'm originally from the Seattle area, and my uncle trained out there for the last like 30 years. You know, he was training in the Seattle area. My dad's background is in martial arts, so we just kind of been training our whole, you know, since we were kids.
Awesome. And can you just kind of give us a breakdown of this last tournament you just came back with all these championships from, and talk about each kid that fought?
Yeah, we actually went to the SoCal tournament. It was actually right outside Riverside in Menifee, California. It's a 3-day tournament that they have. I think this is the fourth year they had it.
Yeah.
And we actually took 17 kids out there. You know, they break them down into brackets and age groups and weights and stuff. So three of the kids that I took were unopposed. There was no one in their brackets and ages. And 14 kids of mine that I did take ended up fighting in their brackets and age groups and weights. And we came away with 9 belts.
Awesome.
So, you know, just kind of like any other sport, they break you down into... age groups of every 2 years, and with 5 pounds, kind of like some of the pro weights, you know.
Right.
You know? I have two sons. I have twin sons myself, Angel and Chavez Barrientos. They competed in the tournament. They won. 15-16-year-old, 95 pounds and 101, and then we also had. We have novice kids. Novice kids are anyone that has less than 10 fights is considered a novice fighter. About 4 novice fighters. But I had one kid, Jaden Ortilla. It was his first fight ever. And 8 years old, he ended up winning the belt out there in the novice division for 55 pounds. 8 years old. We had numerous kids, you know, that did really well in the competition. We fought like the best. I would say a year or two ago, this tournament was kind of like a beginner tournament, the competition wasn't really stiff out there. It was more of a regional tournament, you know, but over the last couple of years, it's been pretty steep. You know, the competition is really tough. You got Coachella Valley out there with some of the best fighters in California. You had Freddie Roach's gym was there. Wild Card was there. You had fights from all over California, Arizona, Nevada, and there was actually a couple teams from Hawaii, and there was a team from the UK there. it's become a big. I talked about next year being a 4-day tournament instead of a 3-day tournament, so it's getting bigger every year.
Where is this gym located?
My gym is located here in Las Vegas. The address is 3170 South Polaris Avenue, number 19. If you're familiar with Vegas, we're like maybe 5 minutes from the Las Vegas Strip.
Awesome.
Near Desert Inn Road. So it's pretty convenient off the Strip. We get a lot of boxers that come in town doing camp. That's why I met Mario. Robert Guerrero did it. Did a couple of camps at our gym for his big fights with Mayweather. And then I met him back a while back when he fought Cassidy.
Awesome. Yeah, actually, I lived in Vegas for a couple of years, not by choice, kind of by accident. I ended up in a legal battle against the Fertittas for some investigative reports I wrote, and I had to fight through 6 years of litigation to clear my name. And when I went out to Vegas for one hearing, they told me I had to go to every hearing, so I ended up having to live with a friend of mine out there. And I made the most of it. You know, I went to a... Yeah, very familiar. It's an interesting place. I mean, there is a lot of fighting going on, and there's just a... There's a lot of people stuffed into those communities. I mean, people think it's just a strip, but really, you know, there's a very big local population there. And it's an interesting place to live.
I've strictly done the same for the last eight, nine years. I've had a gym here in Vegas for about eight years. And I traveled, a year and a half ago, I had 141 did the U.S. trials, and, you know, for the Olympics, and he ended up being the alternate for 141 pounds, you know, fell a little bit short, but competed at the high level, you know, going to all the tournaments and stuff. I met a lot of people around the nation, you know, and I always compared Hollywood. Hollywood, for, you know, if you're an actor, you go to Hollywood. If you're a fighter, you come to Vegas, you know?
Right, exactly. My favorite part of living in Vegas... My favorite part of living out there was no mosquitoes. I love that.
Oh, yeah.
It's not enough humidity for them, you know? So, it's perfect. There might be a lot of other bugs, but no mosquitoes. But,
yeah.
The best part for me,
it's
though,
really interesting.
For boxing, yeah. I got to go to one amateur MMA fight. I didn't get to go to any pro MMA fights out there, but I went to a couple boxing matches at the Cosmopolitan, and I got to do the press stuff for Floyd Mayweather when he fought Ortiz there. It was pretty interesting, you know, getting to see the whole gym environment and see Roger Mayweather there and some of his other boxers, and his fiance at the time was there with her big engagement ring, and just the press of reporters that was around him. I didn't even go near the scrum when they were all asking him questions, but when we got up on the ring ropes to watch him do the mitts, I just yelled out, "What do you love most about boxing, Floyd?" And I had to say it twice because he was already out of interview mode, you know. But I yelled it twice, and he finally answered, "Everything." That's what he said. So I was like, "Wow, that's a good answer," because I usually ask that to everybody on the show. So, you know, obviously, I got to ask it to you too. What do you love most about boxing?
You know what? To me, I love the sport just because it's not a team sport. It's only you, you know. So you watch that ring. It's just one on one. You know, there's nobody to help you. There's nothing that can be done. We traveled everywhere. We beat kids from the East Coast, the Texas, the West Coast, and you know, coaches asked me like you're good. I said we beat a lot of kids that we probably shouldn't have beat. You know, they had more experience than us. They were stronger than us, they were faster than us, they were smart, you know, who fought a smart fight, you know, and you talk about Mayweather, and that's what Mayweather is. You know, he's not the strongest, he's not the fastest.
But he's smart.
He finds ways to win, you know? So, I think what I like about boxing is, you know, you can beat the underdog and you can still win, you know? It's a boxing match, you know?
Yeah, exactly. I read this book when I was a kid. They made a movie about it. It wasn't as good, but there was a book called The Power of One, and one of the main characters in there was given this mantra, little can beat big, first with the head, then with the heart. And it was a boxing movie,
yeah,
too,
yeah.
Boxing story. So it makes sense. And that's something I always believed in, too, is you got to fight smart. And I was always a defensive fighter when I was in the amateurs in college. And my co-host here, Tony the Tornado, was a fellow boxer. We didn't know each other at the time, but we were in the same national tournament at one point. I got a bronze medal. I ended up getting a bronze medal. Yeah, same weight class. It's crazy enough. I only had about 5 fights. I went 3-2, and it was just one semester of boxing, but I loved it. I absolutely loved it. And what won me my first fight in the Nationals was my jab. The judge even came up to me afterwards and said, you know, that's what you did right there. You kept your distance,
yeah.
and you just connected with your jab more. And sometimes that makes all the difference.
Yeah, the rule, it truly is a science. You know, if you want to work the jab and you know your distance, you gotta be fundamentally sound, you know?
Exactly. And one of the things that one of the things that got me in good shape for boxing was my first year in college. I went to the Air Force Academy, and they had one of the best teams year after year. Probably got the most championships in the history of the sport in college, maybe close to Navy. Navy was pretty good, too, in their own right. But Air Force was the big team when I was with them, and they went through these fundamental drills with us every single day. And it was always, you know, punch goes out, hand comes right back to the chin, you know? And I think that's what makes, like, some of the European fighters so good and so dominant in the weight classes, is because they drill the basics like that. And they always have good hands-up defense. It's essential. I mean, not only for success in the fight, but for your health. It's a brutal sport. I mean, just sparring can leave you headaches for a couple of days. So that's very important. Hands-up defense and everything like that. And people laugh when I say it sometimes, but Mike Tyson. Mike Tyson had one of the best defenses in boxing. People think he was all offense, but that peekaboo style with the hands tucked to the chin all the time, I mean, it's an ideal position with your elbows in to block everything. Within inches of moving your hand up and down, your arm and elbow all together. So that's what I tried to teach fighters, a lot of that, when I first started as a coach, too. Getting back to you guys up there, what do you guys do for exercise to prepare for a fight?
I think sparring. I think getting them ready. We do a lot of sparring, but I keep it, you know. I remember as a kid, you know, my dad used to do sparring stuff. We used to do long rounds and a lot of rounds and stuff. You know, I think it's really important to do only what you're going to fight. If you're only going to do, you know, if you're 10 years old, you're doing a one round. You're doing 3 rounds in 1 minute. You know,
right?
Fast rounds. You know, 3 times a week, leading up 3 to 4 times a week, leading up to a competition. We just do a lot of sparring, a lot of preparation. You know,
right? Yep, practice makes perfect. Anyway, I'm going to let my co-host here. Well, we didn't even introduce ourselves. I apologize. My name is Rich, Rabble Rousing Rich. I call myself. We also have Tony the Tornado on the line and Psychic Tom Padgett. So, Tom and Tony, whichever one of you want to go first, if you want to ask some questions, now's the time. You guys with us?
Hey, how you doing? Not too much, man.
Last,
You know, one question I was going to ask about a moment ago. I'm not I spent a lot of years in the Philadelphia gyms, and what I used to like, Oxford on the side, and what used to interest me about boxing was when they were all different guys, I would just sit down and watch them. You know, I would, you know, help with the water, help with anything. You know, I just wanted to see how these guys operate as trainers. And now that I train people more for a hobby than anything, enjoy it. I just actually, last week, I filmed a boxing instructional video with a couple of my trainees. I just finished editing it 3 days ago. I put it on YouTube. But what I believe in, as Rich was saying earlier, fundamentals. Fundamentals. Yeah. I always say, when you build a fighter, you build a house. You have to start from the base. Because if you don't build a strong base with your footwork, you're done. You know, you have to learn to use your jab. You have to learn to see punches come at you, react to them. You know, it's not just a windmill. And, like, sit there and look. I ask you, because I'm kind of struggling with this right now a little bit. People, and I've been training people off and on for a couple of years, you know, mainly for fun. And last year, a friend of mine, you know, she was putting something on Facebook, you know, just being angry at, I don't even what. And I put a challenge out to her. I said, you know, why don't you come over, try some boxing training to get your frustration out? Usually people call my YouTube videos, and I'm having people reach out to me now. He said, I work a full-time job. I go to the LA Fitness after work, and then I end up at my gym at home after that. So I'm putting in 12 to sometimes 14-hour days, and I'm just trying to think what is the best way to weed people out that, you know, maybe they're not serious, that I don't want them to waste my time.
Go ahead, Richard.
Yeah, and then I replied saying that, you know, I weed a lot of these people at the door. You know, I let them know that my gym is not here to, you know, work on people's self-esteem, and because they're getting bullied at school. Strictly trained to compete level. You know, everybody in my gym, you know, time to fight. You know, you really have to... the top gym, you know, the trainer's son, and maybe a couple other people go to these tournaments, you know. I take the whole gym competes, you know. I got 17 kids. We're fighting this weekend at Roy Jones Jr. and Invitational here in Las Vegas. I entered 18 kids. The whole gym is fighting, you know. So I just kind of let people know from the very beginning that my gym is a gym where everybody competes, and, if you're serious about the sport and you seriously want to learn, and my gym is the right place for you, you know? If you want to, you know, lose weight and, you know, and hit the bags because you're, you know, you're mad at the world, it's probably not the best gym to be at.
Oh, all right. You want fighters.
We used to call Billy the bag beater. The guys that would never get in the ring to spar. You're like, yeah, you're just a bag beater.
And, you know, there's all different kinds of guys. You know, you got the gym rats, you got the guys that are just, you know, sparring in the gym, but you never see them at a tournament. You know, there's other people. I mean, everybody has their reasons, you know, why they're in the gym. And not that, you know, a gym that, you know, has a bunch of kids there working on self-esteem and just because they're getting bullied and stuff. Not that... that gym doesn't have a place in boxing.
Right.
I feel like if I'm going to put in 110% to the gym, like I said, you know, really good, clean boxing, you know, it takes smart kids to box, you know? I mean, I like the smart in school. They don't want to get punched in the face. You know, same angles. They're learning how to keep their hands up. They're learning how to use distance and keep the jab. And, you know, and I talked a little bit about my uncles and my dad, you know, training. I'm Mexican, you know. I learned straight Mexican style brawling, you know. And I opened up a gym and I had a trainer by the name of Kenny Adams that trained at my gym. He was an all-Army coach and worked on the Olympic team and stuff, and he was real technical with a lot of the Army-style drills. He talked about the Air Force, you know, a lot of that boxing 101. I picked up a lot of that stuff, helping him with a bunch of his pros when he was in there. So I kind of meshed that together with what I knew in boxing, you know, the aggressiveness of Mexican style boxing. So my style, I think in the gym is real technical with you know, a lot of pressure, you know, you know, and that's how they score these fights now. I think that's why we do so good, because it's effective aggressiveness in the ring, you know. So my kids, they know how to box, they know how to get past, you know, setting up jabs, setting up feints and movement, lateral movement, and then when they got the opportunity, they know how to let their hands go, you know?
Right.
So it works really good for us. It works well for us.
All right. Tom, you got a question?
Well, I think I figured out the secret of your gym, sir.
What is it, Tom?
The secret is there's with who's walking in the door, and appeal to everyone, but that's the secret of putting your team together, and congratulations on doing it. I think you've taught those kids a lot, and they'll learn some good lessons about life, not just boxing. So keep it up. Old school. I love it.
Yeah, my dad's like totally old school. Like, you know, he's the type of guy that you walk in the gym and you either like him or you don't, and he either likes you or he doesn't, you know. And you know, we have about four trainers in the gym that can all stand each other, and we just work hard, you know. We just work hard. We try to keep, you know, the politics and everything out of the gym, you know. We're just there for one reason, is to train these, you know, young kids. I mean, I train, and I just recently just got into the pro game, you know. I trained two of the up-and-coming Mayweather fighters. I got a couple of kids that I train, and I call them kids because they are, you know, they're 18, 19 years old, you know. I train a kid by the name of Brian Gallegos. He's 5-0. He's actually 6-0. We just fought over the weekend on the money team card out here in Vegas at Sam's Town. And then I have another kid that I trained that by the name of Daniel Gonzalez. He's 3-0 right now with the money team, you know. We're signed under Mayweather. And, you know, and they all train together, you know. Everybody trains together, and, you know, sometimes I have my training sessions overlap just so I can keep these guys grounded, keep the pros grounded, to see the amateurs, you know, working hard as they are, you know. My training doesn't change, you know. I got amateurs that train harder than my pros, you know. And vice versa, you know. It's like I try to overlap just so that the pros don't think they're special, where they got all this time for themselves, you know. And the amateurs can see these pros and be like, hey, I work just as hard as them. How many rounds did they do?
Right.
Oh yeah, that's what we did. I'm just gonna keep it real old school, you know. And you know, if you want to do extra, if you want to be in the gym 3 hours, you know, I'm there from 1 o'clock to 8 o'clock. So, you know, if you want to put in the extra time, I'm there to put in the extra time with you, you know?
Well, it sounds like the approach you have is very synergistic. I know that word's overused a lot, but it seems like when you get everything flowing like that, and when you've got the right trainers and the right guys in there training, one and one is five. You know, you just put so much together, and it helps you with time management, because I sense, too, you've got things pretty well organized. And, you know, it wasn't simple getting to where you're at with that, a little bit of hit and miss, but I'm telling you, right now, it seems like you've got the formula.
You know, it works for me. Like I said, I know it doesn't work for everybody. You know, and it comes out of, at the end of the day, like a lot of stuff that I do is because I love the sport. You know, I've taken 10 kids to a tournament and crammed them in, you know, in my Tahoe, and we were off to a tournament, you know, and I was talking to Mario the other day. I was like, you know, I see a lot of, you know, the internet is huge now, and social media is huge, and we see, you know, people on social media that my kids have beat 4 times in national tournaments, 5 times in the last year, and you see them getting these great sponsors and, you know, getting this stuff that, and we're like, you know, I don't know, sometimes it seems like, you know, we should be out there more, like, you know, but at the end of the day, my philosophy about boxing is just working hard, and everything else will come, you know? Everything else will come, you know?
And just get in and keep winning. Because no matter
what
the deck is,
you can't deny that.
Against you. Right, right. Because results speak louder than flash or talk or anything like that. And it sounds like with the basics you're instilling in these kids, you're going to have some future contenders and hopefully some future champs. We'll be able to say we knew you when it was getting going, you know? So, man, this has been exciting. It's really been great.
Yeah, I get a lot of guys, like, being in Vegas, we get, like, Sean Porter stops at my gym randomly, you know, Robert Guerrero stops in the gym randomly when he's in town, you know, and I've trained Robert Guerrero's son a little while, you know, he's in the town for a week, he says, hey, can you work with my son, and, you know, even Sean Porter, he send me kids that move into town and, you know, they might go to his gym and he's like, hey, I know this guy that has really good amateurs, you know, you need to check out his gym, you know, and I tell these guys, they tell me all the time, he's like, they're like, Rich, man, you got a good amateur program, you got a lot of good kids, you know, and I tell them, like, you know, my kids are growing up, you guys, you know, my kids are growing older and you know, my sons are 15 years old, you know, and I'm like, you know, I love that you guys say that I have, like, a great amateur team, and, you know, hopefully in the next 5, 6, 7 years, you know, they're not going to be amateurs. I'm going to have the best period, you know, coming out of my gym.
Right.
You know, we've been putting a lot of work in. I put a lot of work in with these kids, you know?
Right.
So, well, you know, boxing is a crazy game. There's a lot of politics involved, and as, like, you know, the longer it's in the game, you know, it's like money talks, you know? I talk to a lot of managers and promoters and stuff that have been through my gym, you know, from the big-time guys to the small guys. And at the end of the day, you know, you try to train these guys as hard as you can and try to, you know, create some kind of loyalty that, you know, that'll hold, you know?
Yeah, you have to.
Do the best you can. That's all you can do. At the end of the day, you know, you seem like the kind of man to me, you can go home and look in the mirror and say, hey, I did my best.
That's exactly, you know, at some of these tournaments, I know I spread myself pretty thin. When, you know, when these guys are fighting, you know, 3-4 days, and you wrap, at the end of the day, I'm wrapping like 15 hands a day, and I'm quartering, you know, anywhere from 8 to 12 kids a day, you know, and at the end of the day, it's like, you know what, I did everything I possibly could, and you know, and sometimes, even me, I'm like, you know, I don't know how we did it, but we did it, you know? Like, these guys really stepped up, and we brought home some belts, you know?
Right.
Yeah.
Well, exactly. A lot of it is mental. I hear that a lot from fighters, too. You know, you have to believe that you can do it. And, you know, that's a fundamental, too. That's, you know, you have to be focused and be aware of what your target and your goal is at all times. And as long as you work together, yeah. 9 times out of 10, you can make it happen, and it's just... And it's so much to do with your mentality going in. One of the best wrestling matches I ever had in my life was a JV state tournament. I ended up with the championship. It was at our home gym and everything. I just entered it on a fluke. It was my first year in the JVs. And I ended up going all the way to the finals and pinning the kid in 30 seconds. And I just remember being so relaxed before that fight, that match. And that was the key, I think, is, you know, not being intimidated, not being worried, just knowing that you've done everything that you could, and you're ready. And, you know, not having another care in the world except getting that thing done. So, that's Knowing is half the battle, they say, right?
Yeah.
G.I. Joe.
Yeah, totally, man. It's a lot of mental, you know? You go in the ring and you know that... I tell my kids, it's just like studying for a test. If you have a big test, you know, coming up in 3 weeks, and you study every day for 3 hours a night and you know, and you're just studying and studying and studying, you're hitting the books like you're supposed to, when you go and take that test, you know you're going to pass the test. You just want to know if you're going to get an A or B. You know, it's the same thing in the ring. If you train like you're supposed to and you're not messing around and you're running like you're supposed to, you're on your weight like you're supposed to, and when the fight comes, you already know you're going to win. You just, how good is the performance going to be, you know? The last thing I tell my twins before they walk into the ring, I tell them, look good winning. All right. That's what I tell them.
That's a good one. Well, I guess they don't call you the pound-for-pound gym for nothing, huh?
Yeah, I mean, you know, that's my philosophy on it. You know, if you put in the work, it's not about if you're gonna win or lose. It's about how good are you gonna look winning. You know, right. It truly is. If you put in the work you're supposed to, and you know you're at the right weight, and you know everything is going the way it's supposed to be going, it's a no brainer. You're gonna go. You know, and it comes with confidence and it comes with experience. But I mean, you know, if you put in the work, it doesn't lie. It doesn't lie. And anything you do, it doesn't lie, you know?
Yeah, exactly. And what's the most important goal for you? Like, what's your ultimate goal in the sport and doing what you're doing?
You know, for me, I started training. My sons were 7 years old. And, you know, I boxed as a kid, and I wanted them to box. You know, I named my kid, his first name is Chavez, after Julio Cesar Chavez, you know? And I think for me, it was more about just, like, you know, bonding with my sons, and then it turned into where they really liked the sport, you know? And early on, everybody goes through things when they're coaching, and you're learning how to coach, and you're learning how to deal with kids, you know, and I learned early that I want these kids, I want to keep it positive, you know, around the sport. Everything around boxing should be positive, you know, it shouldn't be negative. If you lose, you know, some of these dads, they're crazy, you know, just like in football and like any other sport, you know, you go home and they get their ass kicked and, you know, they're yelled at and they're put down and, you know, I think for me, you know, what I want out of the sport, I want my son to be successful in the sport if they choose to. You know, I just want a paved road for them, you know, and other fighters before that. You know, like I said, I was working with some of the Mayweather team, and the reason I took on these fighters is so I can pave the road for my sons, and then my sons are going to pave the road for fighters after them, you know, through the pound-for-pound, you know, gym. You know, just like Robert Garcia has done, just like Joel Diaz and them guys have done, they've done a good job getting world champions and paving a road for the young fighters to follow, you know?
Right, legacy.
So, I just want to pave a road. I want to pave a road for, you know, anyone that comes and trains at pound for pound, they're going to have a way to get to their goal.
Awesome. Well, that's a pretty focused and determined mindset that you got too in this, and we definitely appreciate talking to people like you about the sport of boxing. You mentioned Chavez. I have to ask, have you ever run into Richard Steele out there in Vegas?
Yeah, Richard Steele. We go to, you know, I've been to his gym a few times. He's a nonprofit gym out here, and he throws events all the time, so I take my kids out there to fight at some of his shows. He's a real good guy. You know, he calls me up when they're looking for sparring and stuff. You know, I try to stay real neutral in Vegas, you know?
Right. It's funny because...
I try to stay real neutral when it comes to, like, the politics and stuff. And, right. You know, I try not to fall victim of it. You know, you come to my gym, I got Mexican, Black, Filipino, white kid, everybody, you know? I don't. It's not, you know, it's not just strictly a Mexican gym. It's not strictly an urban gym. I got kids that come for the summers from Arizona. I got a kid that comes from Hawaii and trains out of my gym from Hawaii. You know, I keep my gym. I keep my doors open for, you know, whoever's serious about the sport. You know.
Right. Yeah, we interviewed Richard a couple times, and we also interviewed Lou Duva, and they both had a lot to say about the Chavez Mildred Taylor fight, of course, on both sides of it. Two different sides,
yeah.
I guess. So that was kind of interesting. 6 degrees of separation. You find a lot of that in Vegas.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, everybody knows everybody.
Yeah, awesome.
Yeah, what I was saying was, you know, Fernando Vargas comes to my gym and he spars, you know, my sons. He has a couple sons that spar. You know, so everybody kind of leaves, just be, you know, kind of neutral with everybody, you know, and just, it's so small in Vegas, the boxing world, you know?
Right.
I've had amateurs that, you know, that worked with Jesse Vargas and for the Pacquiao fight. I've had, you know, you know, training with the Cubans. He had a guy from Chile that was there, and we sparred. You know, we went to being versatile, like trying to help people out, and you know, and good things happen. You know,
right. All right, and is there anybody out there you want to give a shout out to or say hello to on the broadcast here?
You know, I want to thank Mario for, you know, looking up this interview and stuff. Like I said, I just trying to get my gym out there and, you know, and let people know what we do and we're all about and stuff. And, you know, out there that looking for somewhere serious to, you know, train and compete, you know, my doors are always open.
Awesome. Well, it's been great talking to you, and I think I speak for all of us in saying that you sound like you got it all figured out. And like I like to say to fighters, I'd wish you luck, but I don't think you need it. So, excellent talking to you. And you have any final thoughts before we go?
Yeah, you know. I mean, it's always, you know, thank you.
You're welcome.
Thank you. Anytime you guys want to, you know, give me a call and see how my team is doing, just give me a call.
All right. Awesome. Yeah, we'll definitely catch up with you again, for sure. I mean, this is it's the type of conversation that's ongoing. when you run into somebody that's got it going right and knows a lot of people and everything, and it's got some up-and-coming guys, I'm sure we'll find a reason down the road to reconnect.
All right. That was good. Anytime. It was great talking to you guys.
You too. Thanks a lot.
Well, thank you.
There you have it, Coach Richard Barrientos. And you know, it's unfortunate we had so many technical difficulties trying to get that recorded, but I will do my magic in the editing room on this one because it's worth it. Such a good mind there, and mindset, you know, it's just like you can just smell the positivity coming off of that guy. Good stuff all around. I'm sure you guys agree, right?
You bet.